turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Be looking at verses 1 through 13 of Hebrews chapter 12 one more time this Sunday morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the reading of God's word. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines for us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak, and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Let's pause to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who inspired the author of Hebrews long ago. We pray that you would send that Holy Spirit to work within us here today, and that you would change us and transform us as we feed now upon your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We have over the past three Sunday mornings spent significant time on this passage that you have just had read in your hearing, and in each of the last three messages on Hebrews 12, we have focused on the picture that is painted. And we haven't yet gotten to the focus of the verses that say over and over this discipline, that there is the discipline of the Lord. We have instead focused on the picture painted instead of the discipline of discipleship. And I think it does us well to stop and just reflect on that, because you could get discipline from really any religion. Any religion out there will provide you with a list of things to do or not to do, things that make up the good life, or the life that whatever religion it is their God has in mind for you. What makes this a distinctly Christian message is precisely the picture painted for us that we have focused on over the last 3 weeks. And that picture is that there is a race. You and the Christian life that you are in that race. It is not a sprint, it is a marathon. It is an endurance race. Over and over in these verses, you hear that word. Endure, endure, endure. You must be in it for the long haul. It is for your life. It is a lifelong race, an endurance race. It has at its finished line Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of faith. We looked at all the different ways he is just that he is our champion, that he is our substitute, that he has run perfectly the race that was set before him through his life here, now standing at the finish line as the one and only author and perfecter, our champion of the faith. And we train our eyes on him. We work hard not to be obsessed with ourselves and our navel gazing, instead looking outward, looking forward, looking to the finish line, as racers do, looking towards Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of faith. And as this is going on, we have the assurance that the saints who have gone before us, including all of the saints of the Old Testament, serve as a cloud of witness, as it were, surrounding us during our race, as it were, cheering us on, saying, we have finished the race too. We trained our eyes on Jesus Christ. We looked to the author and perfecter, the champion of our faith. And he brought us safely through. There were twists, there were turns, there were obstacles. It certainly was an endurance race. But we finished in and through him. The picture painted, you in the race, Jesus Christ at the finish line, for you to focus your eyes on, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Really a thrilling text as you think of brothers and sisters and their homegoing, going home to be with the Lord, going home to join that great cloud of witnesses surrounding us as we continue to race on. And then added to that picture painted is this reminder that we are sons and daughters of God the Father. That this race set before us isn't of our own doing, that we haven't charted out a life to live and then go and merely live that human life, but instead, God the Father has set this race before us. Let us run the race that is set before us. And within this picture painted, we do indeed focus on discipline. That word is used over and over, and it is not softened, but rather explained that in verse 11, it doesn't seem to be joyful, but is sorrowful, yet to those trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So today we come with this picture painted around us to the discipline of discipleship. And we, as sons and daughters, need to take into account verse 5, that we have forgotten this exhortation, which is addressed to you as sons. And you could say sons and daughters. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. I took that verse this week and said, I, like my brothers and sisters at Grace Orthodox Presbyterian Church, am a son of God. I am a child of God. This exhortation is to me. And it's very bold in starting off by saying, you've forgotten this exhortation. And throughout this week, I was reminded that that is true over and over. Things happen, and in various ways, I forget that I am a child of God, that I am a son of God through Jesus Christ. And this verse says that there are two ways in which we are very well versed at forgetting this exhortation. We regard the discipline of the Lord lightly. That's one way of forgetting that we are sons and daughters of the Lord. Or, on the other hand, we faint under the discipline of the Lord. So we'll spend time on those two different ways in which we forget God's exhortation to us that we are his children. We will spend time thinking about the various ways we regard the discipline of the Lord lightly, and then some of the ways that we faint under the discipline of the Lord. It's an interesting thought, isn't it, to stop and say, how do I, as a son or daughter of the Lord, through Jesus Christ, my elder brother, how do I regard his discipline lightly? And it's the most, if you're anything like me, it's the most unassuming thing that creeps in. It's the most subtle way of thinking that creeps in that enables me and brings me back to this way of considering the discipline of the Lord lightly. And it could be summarized by a statement that you've probably all used at some point or another. It's just life. That's just life. Life just has its ups and downs. Life just has its peaks and valleys. There's just difficulty to life, that's all. Learning life, learning to do it is to, you know, just kind of toughen up, have a stiff upper lip about things and move on. Don't expect everything to go your way. Life doesn't do that. And I realize that for me, when I do that, I'm not remembering that I am a son of God. That is a way for me to gloss over the fact, to dismiss the fact that every moment of my life as a child of God is a race that he has set before me. Don't you see that you fall into doing just that? That you go through life and you come upon how it has its ups and downs to it. So there's just peaks and troughs, hills and valleys. At times you're skipping on the top of the mountains. At other times you feel like you're drowning in the depths. And instead of realizing that that is part of the tailored-made training plan to bring you to holiness, you dismiss it. Just life. That's just life. Don't regard the discipline of the Lord lightly. Start to look at the variations in life and reclaim them not as just life, as if it just happens by chance, but instead by saying, this is what the Lord has in store for me. My God, my Almighty Father, from all eternity looked to this point in history and held all variables together to bring about the perfect counsel of his will, but he designed this trial for me. He designed this affliction for me. He designed this time of grief for me. He designed these. They aren't just circumstances, random chance circumstances. It's not just life. It is the race set before me by my God at this point in time. Another opportunity for me to take my eyes off myself and fix them on Jesus Christ, the champion of my faith. Another opportunity to remember that the Lord is at work. He is using this to bring the best result imaginable in me. He is drawing me to holiness, to perfection. So, the subtle way in which we regard the discipline of the Lord lightly is by just seeing it as life instead of seeing it as the race set before us by our God and Father. The not-so-subtle way of regarding the discipline of the Lord lightly is by complaining. Why? Why me? Why does this always happen to me? What a day I've had. What a terrible week. Boy, does it ever pile on. And these are all exclamations that we come to throughout the experience of life. And if we're not careful, they can be ways in which we are regarding the discipline of the Lord lightly, by complaining, by becoming vexed, aggravated, annoyed, irritated, thinking that we are above certain things, that everything that is a nuisance should not happen to us. We really do get to the point where our belief in God can sometimes become a reason to almost look at him sideways in heaven as if he's out to get us. All ways of taking his discipline lightly, not acknowledging that whatever it is, however many times it's happened to you, however frustrating it might be, whatever a nuisance it is, however irritating, aggravating, annoying, it is actually tailor-made by your God and Father to strengthen you, to build you in holiness, to make you more like his Son who stands at the finish line. Another way to regard the discipline of the Lord lightly is by embarrassment. All of us struggle with this. So embarrassed that I would struggle in this way. So embarrassed that these sins of mine continue to cling so closely, continue to beset me in such ways. I should be beyond this. Just this morning, I found myself talking to my wife about something and saying, I was struggling with this 10 years ago. I've been working at it for 10 years, and I still struggle now. Whatever it might be, anxieties that perplex you, worries that you can't keep down, fears that don't go away, flaws, sins that cling so closely, they embarrass us to the extent that we don't recognize them as part of the race set before us by God our Father. Ways we take the discipline of the Lord lightly. Here's a way to make sure you don't take the discipline of the Lord lightly. At each moment, instead of complaining, instead of saying, oh, it's just life, instead of being so embarrassed that you don't see it as for what it is, ask the question, what am I supposed to learn through this? Grieving the loss of a loved one, what am I supposed to learn through this? Struggling with a physical ailment, what am I supposed to learn through this? God loves me. God loves me so much he sent his Son to live and die for me. And that Son of God is standing at the finish line. My eyes are trained on him. This isn't random chance happening. This isn't just to annoy me or frustrate me or embarrass me. What is my loving God and Father teaching me through this? What am I supposed to learn? What is the lesson of holiness in this precise circumstance? And you don't have to rely on your own devices when it comes to that. Turn it into a prayer. Isn't that what makes up so many of the Psalms that we love? Because they relate to us, they come to us in where we are, and we'll ask questions of God like, where are you, Lord? What are you trying to teach me in this, Lord? How long, O Lord? Identifying, giving us words to identify with. But we say, Lord, I understand. You're disciplining me. You're training me. It's not you against me. It's you for me. You're drawing me heavenward. You're drawing me into holiness. You're making me more and more like your Son. What are you trying to teach me? Prayerfully ask the Lord what he is trying to teach you through the circumstances you find yourself in. And here's something that all of us as a church can do together in not regarding the discipline of the Lord lightly. We can recognize that the Lord, as our loving Father, is at work in those around us. Those that surround you today, as you look around, the faces next to you, the other people in this room. It's not just you in the race. All of you are in this race. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're looking to him as the author and perfecter, as the champion of your faith, then you are in the endurance race. And we don't need to be those who look to the side and see somebody enduring, struggling, laboring, working to stay in the race and say, boy, you're really sweating over there. Looks really difficult. Really got you down, doesn't it? No, we can instead realize the Lord's at work in their life. We go through trials. We go through afflictions. We go through challenges. It's the way the Lord builds us, the way the Lord trains us, the way the Lord makes us more like his Son, not only ourselves, but also others. Do not regard the discipline of the Lord lightly. But then it says, you know, take a look at the other extreme as well. Don't regard it lightly. Take it seriously. See it for what it is. Discipline at the hands of God who loves you and is training you. But don't faint under the discipline of the Lord. Endure. 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 There's really two ways that we faint under the discipline of the Lord. The first is losing interest, giving up. Anybody who has done any amount of exercise at all realizes this is usually the most difficult obstacle there is when it comes to exercise. We know we should exercise. We know we should get out there. We know we should put one foot in front of the other. We know we should put in the reps. But it's boring after all. Monotonous. Over and over. Humdrum. Tedious. And isn't that the way it is in the Christian life? The same Bible I'm turning to again. These same prayers I've prayed so many times. Another Sunday with three hymns and a sermon. Is he listening? Is he alive? Does he hear me when I call? Is he there? Is this really a race that he has set before me? Is he really sovereign? My faith doesn't feel alive the way it has in times past. I feel dry and parched. I just don't feel like doing this any longer. I don't have interest anymore. Oh, it's an endurance race. It's going to have times like that. Times like that. It won't always be exciting and thrilling. It won't always be fantastic and wonderful. You will flag in enthusiasm. But it's not about sudden bursts of excitement and energy. It's running for endurance, persevering even when you have lost interest. Saying, Lord, this is part of the race. Enable me to put one foot in front of the other in this life that you've set before me, knowing that I must not faint under the discipline of the Lord. Grant me your Holy Spirit. Keep me from ever thinking that I'm running this race alone. Animate me. Give me life. Give me resurrection, strength, and power. Touch me from heaven. Spur me on, Lord. Don't lose interest. Don't give up. But here's the other way. Losing hope. This also happens for anybody who's running a race. Step after step, am I really going to make it? Am I going to make it to the finish line? Am I going to finish the way those who before me have finished? It seems like it's taking so long. I don't seem like I'm as good as the other runners around me. I don't think I'll ever make it. You see how this passage is for you if you're in that situation? It's coming to you and saying, don't lose heart. Don't give up hope. If you're struggling, guess what? Discipline is sorrowful. It's not joyful at the time. And the Lord disciplines whom he loves. Look at children. And don't think of discipline just as corrective measures. Think about how terrifying a thought it is to have a child completely free and absent of discipline. Never a parent in the child's life to say, don't stick your fingers down the toaster. Don't shove your fingers in the wall socket. Don't take electrical appliances into the bathtub with you. Don't play in the street. Look both ways before you cross the street. Eat what's healthy and not just junk. Sleep according to some sort of a schedule. All of the ways in which parents come to children and save children from their own devices. All of those ways are the way your holy God and Father comes to you and says, I've planned out your life for you. I've set the race before you. Don't give up hope. I'm training you. Take that next step. Progress one more step towards holiness. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Don't faint under the discipline of the Lord. And don't regard the discipline of the Lord lightly. I think what's remarkable about this certainly is God's admonition to us to see the discipline of the Lord for what it is, to progress, to take that next step, to realize we are pursuing holiness and never really catching it in this life, but pursuing it with the hope of one day finishing as that great cloud of witness has finished before us and is testified to in the entire Old Testament. But you come back to fixing your eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. It's such an astonishing thought. Because you see, you and me, as we come to the discipline of the Lord and see it for what it is, we're sinners. Apart from God, we're unholy. We're in need of God's discipline to draw us out of unholiness, to shake us free of the sins that so easily entangle us, to make us more and more holy. But Jesus is holy, harmless, and undefiled. He never sinned against God. And he still ran this race that was set before him. God in Jesus humbled himself. He wasn't in any need of discipline making him more holy. And yet he still ran the race that God his Father set before him, doing the will of his Father absolutely perfectly at every point. So we have hope in every step of the race that we take by looking to Jesus and seeing that he has run this race before ever we did, and that he has done it entirely for us so that we can now be transformed more and more into God's own holiness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for understanding our limitations, our weaknesses, our trials, our troubles. We thank you for this word from God that reminds us that if we were not experiencing the discipline, the loving discipline of the Lord, it would mean that we are illegitimate children. We ask that you would keep us from regarding the discipline of the Lord lightly and deliver us from fainting under your loving discipline. Train our eyes on Jesus, we pray. Amen.